The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio, Biz Radio, and Channel Radio /2.co.uk. It's Tuesday, the 7th of November. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews. And guess what? She's back. She's only back.
Hello.
It's my co-presenter, Jules. She was taking a big slug or something there.
It's my rhubarb. I'm getting ready for Windhoek. Windhoek.
Are you going to Namibia?
Yeah, I'm going to Namibia.
Are you?
I can't say it.
No.
I'm a bit like Donald Trump, you know, Namibia. What's he called? Nambia.
Yeah, Namibia.
Where is Nambia?
Nambia is nothing like Donald Trump. Trust me, I've been there.
Yeah, I'm going to
Windhoek,
and then I'm doing a 10-day self-drive this time, being very brave, me
are
and
you?
Your husband, yeah. Because last time we went out with Rangers when we were in Zimbabwe and Zambia, and this time my new husband said he's going to do the self-drive.
Yeah, there's a lot of bush in Namibia.
There's a lot of bush, that's what I say. So I've got my... Rhubarb tea.
Getting
into the spirit.
Yeah. So, and you think that having a New Zealand accent when you go there will work for you?
I'm very rude. But I have bought myself a listener. This is quite exciting. I'm already.
Because most of Namibia is the Kalahari. Most of Namibia is the Kalahari now, isn't it?
Red, isn't it? Red sand.
Yeah, yes, Kalahari. Yeah.
Was that responsible for that storm we had recently when I got red sand all over my car?
Oh, Donald Trump or Namibia or both?
I think probably Donald Trump.
Yeah, probably.
You know, when he does his hair, that sort of thing. Because he's in South Korea at the moment.
He
is
indeed.
He's going to put his foot in it, isn't he?
Quite possibly.
The South Koreans must just be trying to silence him, I think.
Yeah, give him an overdose of kimchi or something.
Kimchi, yeah. Very good for the gut, though.
Yeah,
you know, your new programme, what's it called? The Health Show
Matters.
On Monday.
Yeah.
Well, he would love kimchi.
Yeah, yeah.
He wouldn't like Donald Trump, though, would he?
No.
I think he would...
But both probably have the same effect on your stomach.
Probably. Gut-wrenching, yeah.
Yeah.
But kimchi is very good. Talking of kimchi, catch this, because I got you this from... This is
what
from...
Is
you know, I've just come back from China, darling.
Yeah, I'm looking at that with dubious eyes already.
Here's your menu.
Yeah,
this
go
is the
on.
Menu.
Now, go on.
Right.
Chuck it over.
Okay.
I saw this on Twitter as well.
And there's your... Sorry, I've left my mic. I did bring you that from... This is from a little street market in mainland China.
Yeah.
Now, on the menu, you can choose from local toad. He's looking a bit baffled, isn't he?
Yeah, well, I can't find toad on here, on this menu.
Local toad. No, if you want it, there's local toad.
Oh, is it under
but
the counter?
It's local. It's all right.
Yeah, it's all right. They
it's
know.
It's local. Yeah, they eat local.
Yeah, they know. Yeah.
Terry the toad.
Yeah.
And then you could also have innards of...
Innards.
I'm not quite sure what of... Maybe pig's innards.
Really?
Yeah. So,
well, you say that about China. I was in South Africa. I was in Durban in a restaurant, and the waitress said to me, I ordered a steak, and she said, do you want starch and monkey glands with that?
She didn't say like that, though, did she?
No, she didn't. But she said, do you want starch and monkey glands? And I went, sell it to me, love. Sell it to me. Yeah.
And did you?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Well, I have to tell you, have you noticed anything about me different? I'll stand up.
You've lost weight.
Why have I lost weight?
Because you've been eating toads in China.
No, because I stopped believing in what the NHS were telling me about my thyroid.
Yeah.
And I now have...
You're scoffing your face, aren't you?
I am eating an awful lot of fat, natural fat. And again, Neil would know all about this. Mm. But also, I've come off the levothyroxine that the NHS was shoving down me for 20 years, which just shut my thyroid up. And I'm now taking natural piggywig thyroid. So little pig has given
for
me
the uninitiated,
his gland.
What she's telling us is she's having a bacon sandwich for breakfast every day. It's basically where she's coming from with this.
You saw me before we went on air, a little pig gland. Did you see me with water?
I didn't see you eating a pig gland. No.
You saw me, didn't you?
I saw you have something.
Yeah, a little pig gland.
But it didn't look like a pig gland.
No, it was a little tablet. Yeah. But it's all natural, darling. And honestly, changed my life. Changed my life.
I bet the pig's not happy.
Well, the new husband isn't happy because I've got far too much energy and I'm driving him mad. I whistle now. Really upsets him.
You know. I'm not even going there. Anyway,
open your present.
Okay.
Come on.
This jar. Yeah. Let's see what's in it. I hate to think what's in it.
No, this is actually lovely. This is fresh ginger, chili, and
so
everything.
So you say, I'm going to dip my finger in it, and then you'll mention what else is in it.
No,
you
know, no.
Like hamster and and
this is. Please don't spill it on the decks because I know what you're like.
No, it'll burn a hole through the desk.
Go and open it and dip your finger in.
No, cool.
So,
right. Oh, here we go.
I should be periscoping this. I'm videoing it. I'll put it on there. Yeah, it's quite hot, by the way.
Oh, thanks for telling me. Quite hot.
Yeah.
You know, in the same way that a flamethrower on full burn is hot.
Yeah, it's quite hot. It's ginger, which you love.
He's got a little bit pink.
She did that deliberately. I actually like really hot food, and I especially like hot chilies. That's kind of...
Yeah.
Kind of nuclear.
Yeah. But you'll enjoy it, won't you, darling?
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
So that's come all the way from mainland China.
Thank you.
For you.
And what's in it? And what's the disgusting bits that are in it? That's what I want
to
know.
No, there's nothing disgusting. I wouldn't do that to you. Yeah.
Sorry, Kevin?
I think everything's disgusting.
Yeah. You can dip your finger in that later if you want, but I
warn you, it's hot. Can you smell it? Well, coming home, I had...
It's made my eyes water.
I had that for all of my kids and my mum coming home, and my suitcase absolutely reeked, and we had it double, treble wrapped, absolutely reeked. But there you are. So that's got you off to a roaring start. Mm. And the innards and that will come later, because obviously the ones I brought had gone off by now.
Mm. Cool. Hey, listen.
May I ask who the sponsor is?
Yes, you should, and thank you for that. Today's show sponsor is the lovely folks at Aluxi Consulting.
I love them.
Yeah, Linda Garcia and the team at Aluxi Consulting, many thanks for sponsoring this month's shows. They're business consultants and productivity specialists, and they really are a great team of people with some great insights into how to develop and grow your business. So do check them out. Aluxi.co.uk, Aluxi, Aluxi.co.uk, on the web. So check them out. And a massive thank you to Aluxi for sponsoring this month's shows. Really appreciate it. And so I can't speak. My tongue's falling out.
It's really good for you, though. It's ginger, definitely, and probably a little bit chilly. And maybe, I don't know, some onion.
Do you believe this, Tracy? I don't believe this.
I saw the chilli in there. I saw the ginger. There are other bits that I'm not too sure on.
Yeah, absolutely.
The old toad.
I think there's a bit of lark and some... I certainly saw hamster in there.
You know, the amazing thing is when we were in mainland China, we took a moped, and me, of course, being of a sensible age, said, could I have a helmet? No helmet. You just go off with no helmet on the roads in the wilds of China, which is a bit mad, but we did survive. But also the fishermen that have the cormorants on the side of their poles.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That is amazing. And the transport system, Paul Andrews, amazing. We were going...
Where were you in China?
Well, I can't really remember. I did it all. I'll send you a map, because my new husband does it all, and he routes it out. And places beginning with G, G and G and... we just did
Guingguang,
and Guingo and Gango.
Guingguang,
yeah. Macau, of course, we did.
That's not in China.
No, but that. But we did go to Macau and Hong Kong.
Yeah,
of
course. Cool.
Where is Macau then?
Macau is
an island.
What used to be Taiwan, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, next to Taiwan.
I went there. I didn't know that. No, well, that's the casinos. Casinos.
Macau is the island next to what used to be Formosa and is now Taiwan.
Really?
I think so.
I think I'll need to Google that.
Macau is a former Portuguese colony.
Yes. Mm. And we went to some amazing Portuguese restaurants there. Mm. But what I loved about it
Nando's.
No, we did not go to Nando's. No. We went to proper Portuguese restaurants.
I like Nando's. A cheeky Nando's.
It is a chain, though. It is a chain, Paul Andrews.
Yeah. I like a cheeky Nando's.
You shouldn't go to chains. I won't let you go to chains. We took all the water transport. So you get ferries everywhere, which is amazing. So we took the ferry from Macau to Hong Kong.
Well, like Tinkerbell.
Ferry.
Oh, ferries. Oh, not ferries. Yeah. Okay.
And that was amazing. But the trains and the underground in Hong Kong, clean. There's nobody scoffing a McDonald's next to you, you know, reeking of onions and stuff. Very, very clean. So cheap. You go everywhere. You get a little card. And you just go everywhere for about $8 for 2 weeks on the ferries, on the underground, on the buses. Amazing. Everything leaves on time.
Good.
Very good. We should all go.
Brilliant.
But now, Thursday, I'll be in Africa. So I'll be telling you, you know, what it's
about
like
the underground in Namibia.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've actually bought a shiwi because I'm a little bit concerned.
I'm that woke me up. Sorry.
Well, Keith,
where did that one come from?
Well, I thought if I'm on the road in the bush,
if you're in the bush, you don't need them. There's bush, isn't there? Do. That's the whole point of having bushes.
Did you know if you crouch in a bush and then a lion gets you? Or a croc.
I think you see the lion coming.
Seriously, no. Yeah. Did you not read about the poor man? This is very sad. This is very sad. A young guy, journalist for the FT, I believe, just graduated. He was in Sri Lanka. He went for a wee and one of those awful mugger crocodiles got him. Yeah. It was a 38-foot, got him.
Yeah, I saw that. I actually saw that.
And
that
was when I was in China. So that's why I bought the shiwi. So in all seriousness, I think I've done the right
crocodile,
thing.
Crocodile repellent.
Yeah. That's just my skin.
Yeah. Anyway, hey, listen, enough of that. We'd like to hear from you, the businesses of Kent out there, and you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways here on the Business Funk Show. You can, in fact, call us if you want on Ashford 01233 220035. That's 01233 220035. You can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on the show is to tweet me at VanillaWhip and to use the hashtag BBunker. That's the hashtag BBunker. We have already had 1,933,700,004,000 tweets.
What's the matter with them?
They're slow this week, aren't they? I counted those in record time as well.
Which reminds me, did you read Chris Hyde's Camellia Nogonwell?
Camellogenics.
Yeah, him. His poetry about us.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, he wrote a really nice poem about the Bunker Show, which went a bit viral on Twitter, which was very lovely.
But I'd also like to say we've got some fabulous guests.
We got people from the Prince's Trust and some
Lucy
of the
Brickwood.
And Mohammed Abdullah.
Mohammed Abdullah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And we've also got Kevin Pickering.
We have.
Pickering. Ing. And we also have the lovely Tracy Ferguson, who is fresh from Slopoff, darling.
Yes.
How did you find Slopoff?
It was brilliant. My first Slopoff last Friday. And yeah, I loved it.
Have you sobered up yet, Tracy?
Pardon?
Have you sobered up yet from last Friday?
I didn't drink. Well, I had the complimentary... Wine.
Oh, yeah, she had the complimentary
wine as I came
one.
Through the door.
And then she snapped her purse closed.
And a virgin mojito as well, which was lovely.
That was nice, wasn't it?
That's a result, spending a whole afternoon with Jules and managing not to get drunk. Not many people achieve that.
But what he doesn't know is that I drove that day.
I drove lots of
rather red-faced people
this,
home.
This weight loss thing that you were mentioning just now.
Nothing to do with the Prosecco. I only drove once in my life to a do.
Yeah, yeah, you know, but she, for those that don't know, Jules normally starts the day with two or three bottles of Prosecco for breakfast and then, you know, gets into the heavy stuff later on.
With a couple of venison from Riverford.
Yeah, yeah, and a haunch of venison in a sandwich for lunch.
Yeah.
Anyway, tweet us. We've had loads of tweets. We could actually read some, could we not?
Oh, shall Jules. I?
Yeah, go on. Oh, go for it.
Okay, Corey Cook. I don't know him. Do you know him? No. He has liked a photo that we're tagged in. Mm. The lovely Neville Gaunt, who's not at all gaunt, is he?
He isn't. And he's actually in Karachi at the moment.
I thought he was in Iceland.
Oh, yeah. No, I beg your pardon. He is. He's back from Karachi.
Always get those places mixed up.
Yeah, easy mistake to make.
He's in Iceland. He's going to be speaking in somewhere in India, beginning with K.
No, he does a lot of work in Pakistan in Karachi.
Okay, well, maybe that's where it is.
But you are absolutely right. He's currently in Iceland.
So he's probably in a little, what do they call them, those geezers? With Bjork at the moment.
probably.
So are they geezers? Those hot springs?
Bjork isn't. You don't want to be in a geezer.
What's a geezer then?
It'll go up in the air.
Yeah.
Are they the ones?
The hot spring next to it.
Okay, so he is now probably frolicking with Bjork in a hot spring. Not in a geezer.
You don't want to frolic in a geezer.
So a geezer would be a bit sort of cartoon, like, his hair like Fred Flintstone.
Yeah.
Yubba dubba doo. Anyway, hello to him. Sean Murphy is saying hello. There's also a lovely tweet from the fabulous Joe Allsop, who I was double booked. I really wanted to go because she had Will Devlin, Top Chef.
I think she's got another event coming up.
She has. She keeps having them, like you, a bit like you, when I'm away.
Like buses, you mean?
Well, no, like you. Whenever I'm away, you invite me and she invites me to an event.
Yeah, well, we wait until you're away.
It's like Rebecca Nutt. She has an open evening whenever I'm away.
Yeah, and we wait until you're away and then we stage an event.
Do you really?
And then we invite you just because we're nice people like that.
So Will Devlin put on a lovely, lovely show. I can see Martin Paul White in that picture. He doesn't often, goes to the opening of an envelope now, doesn't he? If there's nibbles there. I can see Denise Wilton there tucking in. So I miss that, but it looks great. And that, of course, is Show Home Network, the lovely Joe Allsop, who also came to the Slopehof.
She did, and I was at that event as well.
Yes.
The food was delicious, although I only got two of the little canapés. But
why did you only get two? What's the matter?
Because I think I was at the far end of the room, and
you have to go and get them.
I know.
You wanted them to come to you,
but it was delicious.
What was on it? Do you remember?
Pate.
Mm-hmm. That would have been a Kentish pate.
Apparently the duck was delicious. Thank you, Denise. I didn't actually get any duck.
Oh.
But yeah, I had...
She's probably got it all in her handbag. She took it back for her daughter.
Yeah.
Interrupt you, ladies, having a little gossip over there. It's very fascinating and interesting, but I think I'll read some tweets and emails.
Yeah.
We've had a tweet from lovely Susie Fish, and she says, do you want to improve your public speaking and confidence? There's a Tenterton Speakers event on 7 p.m. Thursday the 16th of November at the Woolpack Inn. That's in the High Street. Mm. And all are welcome. It's a thing called Tenterton Speakers, and they held a demo, a practice meeting last week, and that was very well attended. So they've decided to do it on a regular basis. And the meeting will be the first and third Thursday at 7 p.m. every month at the Woolpack Inn in Tenterton. And it's a speaking event led by Toastmasters International. So if you fancy some public speaking, do get along to that. It's a talent that is amazingly well worth developing. The ability, if you're in business, to present yourself well in public is a really good skill.
Well, I was talking to a videographer the other day, Carlton. You know Carlton Walls?
Carlton Walls.
Him of the floral shirts.
Yep.
And I obviously, when I'm travelling, I'm videoing my new husband when he's doing his speeches. And he was talking to me about angles, and it just makes so much sense. So I now have to place my new husband slightly turning towards the screen that's got all his photos and slides on. And just knowing that is going to make a lot of difference when he's speaking next in Cape Town. I've had an email here from Roma Vaccaro. I just like her name, really. Mm. It's about a fashion reboot, and it's Friday the 1st of December in Whitstable. And she says, it's quite a long email, so I'm just, glazing through it quickly. The founder is Kiara. How do you say that? Is that Kiara? Kiara Elliott. I think so. And she would love us to mention it on the radio show. Kiara is editor of a well-known interiors magazine, Essential Kitchens and Bathrooms. And she's on Instagram as well. Check them out there. But there will be a pizza van and Prosecco, and there'll be a free G&T for the first 100 people through the door, which has been kindly sponsored by an amazing drinks company.
Whoops, there goes the diet.
You go to... it's not a diet. I eat like a horse, I tell you. Or a pig. buytickets.at /fashionreboot1/12/1721. I'm sure it's easier than that. But we will put a link later on after the show onto Kent Business Radio. But it's for all fashion addicts. You can go and buy, sell and gather. So if you take your clothes, if you do eBay and car boot, she says, you might just fancy the idea of a cheeky mum's night out of beauty and bubbles. Come along to the next evening of high-end bargains at the Fashion Reboot event. So this is in Whitstable. I believe it's at the Umbrella Centre. But it's the Fashion Reboot. I'm going to read out your number, Roma. I hope you don't mind. It's 0772-564-1310. It's the Fashion Reboot. She's on Instagram as well. So follow them, and I will tweet out after the show a little bit more.
Okay. There's a new Romney Marsh networking group, and they're running events up until Christmas, and they've given me a list of those events. If you want to book on any of them, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk /blog and then click on Marsh Networking, all the booking details for all of these events are there. So the next one is tomorrow, manana, November the 8th at 10 a.m. It's Marsh Networking over coffee, and it's taking place in New Romney at the Sinkport Arms. And then on the 22nd of November, there's an evening meeting at 5 p.m. at the Ship in Dymchurch. And then a December meeting over coffee is December the 6th at 10 a.m. back at the Sinkport Arms in New Romney. And then there's an evening meeting, guess where? At the Ship in Dimchurch on December the 13th. If you want to find out about any of those, go to kempisradio.co.uk/blog and look at Marsh Networking, and you can book your place, find out the details and find out more about it. I went to the very first one of those and it was really good. It's run by a guy called Terry Botfield.
Yep.
And they're really good events. And it's the I went to the networking event and I actually sold two things while I was there. I never sold anything at networking events normally. Yeah.
What did you sell?
I sold two sponsorships at a business function.
Oh, I thought it was like a car boot. I thought you took some of your old underwear.
Yeah, I did as well. Yeah, I shifted some of that as well. I shift some socks now and again.
I just put an image in my head now. Yeah.
You know, some of those old sheets, because you don't wash your sheets, do you? Just buy new ones.
There's no point in washing sheets, is it? Just throw them away and buy some new ones.
Terry's also a business manager for the trust.
Is he?
Yeah.
Small world, you see.
Okay, cool.
Kevin knows all these
he knows everyone.
Boffins. I did tweet Terry Botfield.
Yeah.
I don't think he answered me. Can you nudge him? But I was saying I found this amazing business fact that the Riverford sisters, the Riverford Organic sisters, who deliver
Caroline and Liz.
Yeah, who deliver all through Kent. They are full to capacity in the Romney Marsh area. Mm. Do you know why?
Sheep.
No.
They've been sheep rustling again.
Would you think that would be their market, though, for people that to buy an organic home delivery? I wouldn't have thought of it.
I would have popped out and rustled some sheep myself. Yeah.
Well, the reason is, of course, because people out there are so isolated with transport.
So it's terrible.
They get all their groceries delivered by Caroline and Liz.
Yeah.
And all the organic veg, but not just veg, rice, you know, all the sundries that you can get, and meat and eggs and milk and everything.
Mm.
So I was amazed that they are actually full to capacity. They cannot deliver any more in Romney Marsh.
Wow.
And yet in Herne Bay, they need more customers.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. I keep them busy in Whitstable, as you know.
Obviously.
You're understanding your demographic.
Yeah. But, I mean, it gobsmacked me because I couldn't imagine, you know, you think of Riverford and Organic, you don't think of it as Romney Marsh at all, do you?
As Kevin says, it's a very salient point and a very sensible point he makes. When you're looking at a business, demographics is everything.
Yeah.
You know, you have to look at your markets. You have to look at what's what. And it's not always what you think it is. Yeah,
well, it's
you're
a surprise.
Right. You know, you look at a farming community like the Marsh and you think, why would they ship in organic meat? Yeah, but of course they do. And that's a cool thing. Do you know what, though? I'm going to lower the tone again.
Was it tunage already?
It's cheesy tunage time.
Gosh, you play it quite early on. Do we only have one
tune
nowadays?
No, we're late. We only have one tune and we're 10 minutes late.
Well, you know why?
You keep yakking.
No, it's because you were eating all that chilli and then
went
red. Puce, in fact.
No, it's because you were waffling on about
this. So what are we going to play?
It's an easy one.
Nambia? Oh, Adamant.
Don't you ever stop being dandy, showing me your handsome. Don't you ever stop being dandy, showing me your handsome. Prince Charming. Don't you ever stop being dandy, showing me you're handsome. Don't you ever lower yourself, forgetting all your standards. Don't you ever lower yourself, forgetting all your standards. Your handsome.
Right, time for work. I'm off to Channel Facilities Management. Oh, didn't I say? I don't work for them. What I mean is, I don't start work without them. Channel Facilities Management is where local businesses go for no-hassle, peace-of-mind commercial cleaning, security, janitorial supplies and facilities management. Operating a safe, green and eco-friendly service with no chemicals used. Channel Facilities Management. Don't start work without them. Just call 0800 612 4415 or visit channelfm.co.uk.
Rift Accounting. Safety in numbers. Riftaccounting.com.
ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live. Register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Your business will grow if you take advice from people who've been there and done it. See and hear world-class business experts in masterclasses and workshops at the only business conference worth visiting. The Grow Kent Annual Conference, November the 30th at the Ashford International Hotel. Get tickets at growkent.co.uk.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent Business Community today.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on Kent Business Radio, Biz Radio and channelradio.co.uk/2. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and I'm joined, unusually, by Jill Serkin.
Unusually.
You're not normally here these days.
No, I'll be back on the first week of December again. Cool. Oh, I turned my mic off. I wonder why I couldn't hear myself. Adam Ant was great, but quite loud.
It was a bit loud, wasn't it? It made me jump.
Don't remember. It made me jump. Yeah. And you said he lives in Romney Marsh?
No, he's from Romney Marsh.
All right. Well, I suppose he lives in LA now or something.
Probably. Yeah, something like that.
Who are we interviewing now? I've lost track. I've been away for so long. Tell me the format.
What's going on? Who knows?
Are we talking to Kevin?
We are going to talk to Kevin and Lucy. Yeah, so we'll do that.
And Mohammed.
We're going to talk. I don't know why I bother.
Don't forget Tracy.
Hold on. You guys were here when we had the full production meeting, weren't you? Yes. And we ran all through this.
As I remember, I was rustling about getting water and rooibos tea and things.
Yeah, and yakking.
And I've got my North Pennine birch syrup here as well.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know what that does.
I might save that for December.
Yeah. Anyway. Thank you for that, Jules.
This is my sweet smile.
Is it? Yeah. Lucky I can't see you. Lucky you can't see me and the faces I'm pulling at you at the moment.
That's just the Chinese chili.
Anyway, listen, we're going to talk to our first guest because Jules has got something right. Not a lot, but something. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker Show our first set of guests for today, Mr. Kevin Pickering and Lucy Brickwood. Kevin's from the Prince's Trust here in Kent. Good afternoon, Kevin. Thank you for joining us.
Glad I could be here, Paul. Nice to see you again.
It's really nice to see you. For those that I can't imagine there's many people out there that don't know the Prince's Trust, but just in case there's someone like Jules or from Jules's family
that never pay attention to anything they're told,
maybe you could just give us a bit of background to the Prince's Trust
and
your role in it.
Yeah, sure. So to those that are not fully familiar with the Trust, it's a charity, it's actually an international charity now, but we'll focus on the UK. That supports young people right into school, so they could be 12, 13, right up to just before their 30th birthday that want to start businesses. Mm. It's right across the country, and it has several different programs within it. And that's probably what a lot of people don't quite understand about the Trust. It's not just a one-size-fits-all charity that supports young people. It actually has various layers of programs that go into communities and identifies challenges within communities. So we'll we have a program called Achieve that goes right into schools. So those young people that have angst, that could be going along the wrong routes, or that just need to listen to someone independent about how life is, we try and get in there at the beginning before things progress to a more negative level, I should maybe as a way of looking at it. And we work with them. We work with them. We work with the teachers. We work with the clubs within the school. We have programs that they can work with. So self-awareness, self-esteem, these sort of things that a lot of the young people have angst with. There's also another program called Team. And the Team program is a 12-week program. And when we have the other guest on, Tracy, she'll probably go on a little bit about that because she helped produce a really good workshop for the Team program, which was fantastic. And that's a
she's very good, Tracy, isn't she?
She's great. She's absolutely great.
I happened to, just by coincidence, be somewhere yesterday where Tracy was presenting a workshop as well, which was very good.
She has a very understated way of doing it, which is rather engaging, as I keep on telling her.
But
she's great. Tracy came on as a volunteer for the Trust some while ago, and what's it about? 2 years now?
Yeah, just over 2 years.
2 years ago. And it's been fantastic having her on. And she's worked with the Team program that we have, which is one of our programs. So that's a 12-week program that goes into, it brings young people that are 16, 18, 19, and right up to about 24, who, again, have disconnected a little bit from education, have challenges. And it's a real immersive program, the aim of which is to get them into an employability level at the end of it. And Tracy and I ran a program within that program. So it was a 6-week program when we filmed them, and Tracy will go into it a little bit more. It was really, really good. So that's another program. We have Fairbridge, which is a program that helps young people that are probably more challenged. They've got emotional challenges. They've probably had a disruptive background.
Sure.
They've had maybe drink or drugs, combination of some of those or all of those. Again, we bring them into the program very much light touch, very much immersive, very much trying to get them re-energized into basically society and communicating with people. All of our young people have challenges with that. And then we have the Enterprise program, which is a program that actually lets young people explore the idea of growing their business or having a business to grow. And some of them have got great ideas, but some of them really don't have the structural idea behind it.
Yep.
We've all got great ideas, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. Spot a gap in the market. Yeah, yeah.
So we bring them on a quite immersive program. We train them in the disciplines of business and considerations of marketing, selling, social media, finance, that sort of thing. And then we give them a business mentor. And all of the programs are overlaid with mentors. And I mentioned it before in our last conversation a while ago, and that for every one of me as someone that works for the Trust, there are 9 volunteers, and there's just under 1,000 people that work for the Trust. So there's 9,000 volunteers.
Wow. Okay.
So essentially we are a volunteer-centric organization.
Absolutely.
So all of the funding we have is very much targeted towards the programs we deliver.
And just is there a kind of pattern to your volunteers, or are they drawn from all sections and all types of places? Or?
You know, it is interesting that you would think a business mentor, well, there's two real types of a volunteer that I interact with, and one is a business mentor and one is a progression mentor. And a progression mentor would deal with the sort of pastoral sort of care and support, and then with the ability and the focus of moving them on to a much more positive outcome, which could be that they get into, say, working for a local charity shop, get into back into education, or even find a job. But that journey of making them feel better, and you would think there would be that would be a very softer type of individual. I've got really strong business people that are great progression mentors because they've got a really good heart. And if there's a common denominator within all our progression and business mentoring, is that they have an incredibly good heart. And it's not about them. It's about how they can help.
Yeah.
And they are humble about it. I mean, I interview and train all our mentors. And you know, the biggest thing I say is that you know, when I look at a young person, and they're presented with angst and frustrations and anger, I simply can't see any reason why it's their fault that they present like this. So I don't see any fault in them, and I just want to take that journey with them. And all of our mentors have that essence in them, and once you have that, you're on your way to convincing the young person that you're on their side. And if you can do that, you get trust.
Yeah.
Trust. The moment you get trust, I'm banging the table, Paul.
Yeah.
The moment you get trust, you can do so much more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you can be pointed. You can be somewhat critical, but they don't see it as criticism. They see it as support and help because Kev trusts me and I trust him.
I love what you're saying. I mean, and I have no real experience of this, but it strikes me that an awful lot of young people in the circumstances you describe are frustrated. They're frustrated by life. They're frustrated by their lack of opportunities. And that's where the angst and the anger kind of comes from. So you can see quite clearly that somebody building trust with them would immediately have a positive effect to help them start to think about things in a slightly different way.
So we had a video of ET that we sent out as a social media promo for the trust and the young people that we have in it. And there was one young girl on this, and it resonates with me, and I think people should go and YouTube it. It's one of the videos that we've got there. And she starts off by saying, "I'm a hard worker," and she pauses, and then she goes, "I'm a hard worker." And that encapsulates the frustration. The world doesn't accept that they're hard workers.
Yeah.
And that they're genuine. And that's not everyone, of course, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
And that's that frustration. And that frustration can manifest itself and develop where you start believing in it. And once you start taking that journey, you start getting fed up. And fed up 4 weeks later is I won't get out of bed. 6 weeks later, it's depressed. 10 weeks later, it's medicated. And what we try and do, and I'm not a doctor, but what we try and do is make sure that as much as we can, our young people don't go down the medication path, because we can help them a lot in what we do. And I think that's quite I think that's quite important. And our mentors are that's all they want to do. They want to help the young person on that journey, and it's the young person's journey. It's their journey that they're taking with them. And I think that's what makes charities great, not just ours. I mean, I'm here to talk about the Prince's Trust, but I'm here to talk about helping young people. I love helping young people.
I hate
bullies, and the world's full of bullies, and young people can be bullied. I have no time for that. Most of the mentors have no time for that. But there's great charities out there equal to what we do, and the more that are out there, the more chance our young people have got.
From my point of view as a businessman, in the circumstances we are in the UK at the moment, where we have massive skill shortages, my biggest frustration is the waste of talent amongst the young people. We're not utilising the talent that exists or haven't been up until now. And that's the biggest frustration for me. I go into schools and I do a schools programme called 30-30, and I see so many talented young people. And then you get business people going, "Yeah, what the trouble with the young generation today? They're all lazy, they're all in bed, they can't communicate, they're always on their phone, yada, yada, yada," nonsense, nonsense, nonsense. It's bridging that gap and making people realise that young people do have skills, they do have talent, they do have ability, and it's our job as business people to bring that out of them.
It's true. When I do a CV workshop for one of the programs, we get a room full of young people, and they'll immediately go, "But everyone wants experience." And
how do you get the experience?
The experience? And my response to that is quite straightforward. And I say, look, we're not talking about open heart surgery or splitting the atom here, okay? We're talking about first run of the ladder jobs, like I did, like everyone does. That's how it works. So give me an example of you being reliable. And there's this look of blank face. I said, "No, what do you do in your life that people rely on you?" And most times I get these young people say, "Well, I take my kid brother to school." Okay, all right, what else? "And I help medicate my sister or my mum."
Feed the cat, walk the dog.
All of these things. And I say, okay, so there's reliable.
Yeah.
Hardworking, and it just goes on and on. And I said, look, as an employer, what I would want to see from a young person is someone that's reliable, someone that's hardworking, someone that's on time. Now we're going to express that in your CV, and we're going to give examples. that's what they want.
Absolutely.
They can do the rest.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And it's, so it's just enabling them. Yeah. It's giving them that enabler, and it's it's fantastic when that happens, Paul. And that's why our mentors stay with us for so long, because they enjoy imparting that information.
It's absolutely. Really
cool. What are you looking for in your mentors then, so such as Tracy?
Well, we're looking for people that, I mean, it's a term we use that is non-judgmental. And I know that's a pretty generalized term, but those that are just have a very open mind, a very open mind to want to help and listen. You have to be able to listen to what's not being said to you. Mm. So you have to be a good listener. Mm. You have to understand that you have to get that trust. You have to develop that trust. And then you have to be strong enough to then take that on a journey, that young person on a journey, which is really good. So I think that's I think that all of those things are important with a mentor. They get training. They get full training from us. They get it's really funny because when I do a day training with them, second half of the day, when you go into a training session for the first time and people are all sort of like nervous and they're not talking, and then give it half an hour or so or a morning and they're all chatty and everyone, give it half a day and everyone's friend.
Yeah.
So I stand up in the second part of the day because I'm extremely passionate about helping young people, and I'm so passionate about our mentors. I look at them blank faced and they all eventually stop talking, and I say, right, I'm here to fail every one of you. That's my job this afternoon, not to pass you to failure, because my young people are the best young people that you'll ever meet, so I want the best to meet them, but you come through this journey with me and I'm your best support you'll ever have. And suddenly it gets real, as it were.
But absolutely. Yeah.
Those that want to take it, this isn't a dinner party chat when I work for the, I'm not interested in that. You come out from the shadows, you help, you go back in the shadows. Mm. That's what our mentors are. Yeah. And there's some great mentors out there. So if people want to do it because they think they've got something in, that's worldly to tell our young people, and that they should tell them, well, you know what, that's kind of not where it at. Where it is you take the journey with the young person, you understand where they are at first, and then you try and work with them with that. And absolutely. that's the cool thing about it. And it's a great, great thing to do. And we are actually always looking for good mentors. So,
and how many hours do they have to?
They'll work. It's shaped towards the young person. So normally we say you would meet every 2 or 3 weeks. But that can be every month as the journey progresses, because the challenges or goals you set them will be, you can wait 3 or 4 weeks before they can achieve those. So you don't want to, revisit that too early. But normally between 2 or 3 weeks, we say meet them. And then after that, and they have a mentor relationship on a progression level for between 6 and 9 months. On a business level, that can be anything up to 3 years. The contact you have with business as the relationship develops could be from once a month to once a quarter, because they've developed further and you don't need to be there all the time. Right. You'll be surprised, our mentors, the ownership just gets higher and higher.
Sure.
And I mean, I still mentor and volunteer progression, and I get texts from and contact, or they contact me, and it's been 3 or 4 years since I've seen them, and it's fantastic. And you know what, it's not all about, it's about a good outcome. It's about a positive outcome. So they may, those that, for example, have our enterprise journey, building up their own company, they may not continue with their company, but what they will get is that confidence.
Mm.
And what comes with that confidence is their shoulders straighten up and their self-esteem increases. Absolutely. And that's what I love about this. When you can see a young person's self-esteem improve because of the interaction they've had with a mentor, that's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
So you're listening to Kevin Pickering, who's the volunteer executive of the Prince's Trust in Kent.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, let's talk to Lucy now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello, Lucy.
Lucy Brickwood.
Hello, Lucy. This is Lucy Brickwood. And Lucy runs a business called Violet Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Great name.
Yeah. Which is fantastic, isn't it? It's gorgeous. We first actually met Lucy back earlier in the year when Lucy had an exhibition stand at a business exhibition in Maidstone, and we came by and said hello and had a look at what she was doing. So Lucy, tell us first of all, what made you think about starting your own business?
Well, I think it's I was working in the fashion industry, and I worked in tailoring, and I've done lots of different jobs in all the industry of that sort of style.
Yeah.
And I basically got to the point where I was very disillusioned with the way that people were being treated, whether it was designers, cutters, makers, anything. And that's not just like in the UK, that's also just across the world.
Sure.
And also
so, I mean, the fashion industry is a bit renowned for having some kind of sweatshop stuff attached to it. Yeah.
And other than that, I just kind of got very disillusioned with it and the fact that there was no real way of progressing unless someone who was senior to me died, which doesn't really happen in bespoke tailoring. And I just wanted a way out and a creative outlet, and I thought, I want to see how it works doing it my way. And I'd been making things on and off for people as presents for a really long time, and they really liked them, so I thought, I'm going to see if I can sell
them. Just briefly, we'll expand on it in a minute, but briefly tell us exactly what it is you do in the fashion industry.
I make exceptionally colourful clothing out of ethically sourced and recycled materials.
It's fantastic. Amazing. And you can't see it at the moment, but you will be able to see it later.
It's out. It's going out live on Periscope.
Are you Periscoping it? There are some of Lucy's designs in here, and they are really colourful and gorgeous and lovely. So you came up with a concept of running your own business, and you chose to go that route so that you could develop your skills and talent and what you do. What made you hook up with the Prince's Trust?
I basically have a very creative outlook, and I'm very good at coming up with ideas and playing with fabric and colour and going, oh, I want to do this, and I've got this great idea today.
Mm-hmm.
And I need an anchoring point more than anything. And the Prince's Trust have always been very good at sort of telling me, yes, that's wonderful, but calm down. Prioritize.
What's your star sign, Lucy?
I'm an Aries.
Okay.
So they're boring in the Prince's Trust, basically, but boring in a really useful way.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. So they gave you some structure to your business. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it is. And they still do that. Mm. I mean, I've been going for just about 3 years now, and I still have the same thing of I'll have my meetings on a monthly basis and just sort of go, well, I've done this, and I've done this, I've made this, and I'm just about to start doing this, and it's really good. And, I've decided I'm going to just sort of spontaneously go on a trip somewhere and spend too much money. And Linda will turn around and be like, no, come on, prioritise what are your most important 5 things. So.
It's interesting, isn't it? Working in a creative industry, obviously your skills and talents and your passion and your enthusiasm about the creativity of what you do. Running a business has boring bits to it too, unfortunately. But that's great, because we can't all be specialists at everything, can we? And having an organisation like the Prince's Trust and their mentors behind you has obviously given you a lot of comfort in dealing with the bits that you're not comfortable with.
Yes,
yeah?
Exactly. Yeah. And also, I'd like to add that one of the reasons I went to the Prince's Trust was because it does help people up to the age of 30, and a lot of the other ones stop at 25.
Right.
I joined when I was 27, and I can honestly say...
She doesn't look old enough, does she? She doesn't look
old
enough.
You got in by the skin of your teeth.
Yeah, yeah.
I can honestly say that when I was 25 or 20 or... I mean, I went to my business meeting, and the first one, there were loads of people at 18. I had no idea what I wanted to do at 18.
At school, Lucy, did you get no sort of help with your creativity?
Not really. Mm. I think that's one of the things that the most disillusioning thing when you, especially a skills-based industry, everything that I had through school, it was all based on what academic thing I could go and do and what university course I would do. And it seems a little absurd to me that I did a degree, then I did a master's, and then I left all of it and started from the very bottom of an apprenticeship. And they said in the Savile Row when I did my apprenticeship that it was an utter waste of time and I was too old. They would have preferred me to just turn up at 16.
That's so sad.
And I've heard that from lots of people, though, that I've been to university with and done degrees. And in the industry, they've got white-collar jobs, and then they've turned around and gone, oh, I'm just going to start from the very beginning, again, being a carpenter or something at the age of 40.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, absolutely. You could get me on a soapbox about that kind of thing for hours, so I'll avoid that for a moment. You'll be pleased to hear. But I totally agree.
I just wanted to ask, Lucy, because I know that you're at Whitstable Harbour. You have a stall there. And when you're not there, you said you have a Christmas market in London. Can you tell the listeners where that is?
Yes, so this, at the moment, Whitstable Harbour Market is only sort of open at the weekends because it's
cold.
And other than that, I also have some bits and pieces in the Tunbridge Wells Artisan Shop in the stables.
Yep.
And I'm also going to be at Bazaar Bazaar, which is an alternative creative market that's based just round the corner from Borough Market this year.
And oh, it's cool. On okay.
Wednesday to Sunday, every week from the 15th of November to the 23rd of December.
Fantastic. And how's the business going? You say 3 years you've been going now?
Yeah, and it has changed a lot.
Yep, of course.
From when I started making. But it's expanded massively, and it grows so much faster than I thought it would, and a lot faster than I feel I can keep up with occasionally. But yeah, it's grown from being a tiny market stall that I started in Spitalfields to now having a dedicated place to sell in Whitstable Harbour. And also I've gone from making just sort of loungy floaty things to going back to tailoring and going into all sorts of different textiles. We started making homeware bits, and I've been doing some menswear now again.
Cool. Interesting.
So, yeah, it's going very well.
Who are your customers, do you think?
People who like colour would be the primary thing.
That's me.
They'll be hippies then.
Not necessarily.
Well, you're a hippie.
I'm not a hippie.
I actually met someone who I worked with when I was in Savile Row, someone who wanted just like basic pinstripe suits for business, but then at the weekends they want to go out and have some fun.
Be wild, yeah.
Yeah, so anyone who likes colour, and that can be any age. I've sold things to people, like a girl who of 12, and I've sold something to a woman on her 92nd birthday. So, yeah, it can be absolutely anyone.
Absolutely. You know,
my new husband, I dragged him to a tailor in Hong Kong. He buys all his suits from TK Maxx, or I buy all his suits from TK Maxx. Took him to tailors in Hong Kong who were amazing. And my husband's got quite, I hope he's not listening, he's got quite narrow shoulders and a little bit sloopy. And the difference in the cut that they did, and it was a Savile Row, you know, cut in Hong Kong. And I forced him to get two suits, and one was Italian cashmere, beautiful, light. And the other one, I can't remember, but great material. The difference in those suits, and he, you know, he's on stage speaking about emerging frontier markets. And people are commenting on his suits now when he goes out, you know, blokes, other blokes. So the difference that a cut can make is incredible, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, there's a massive amount of difference. It's even just knowing your basic body shape as well makes a big difference. The amount of women who come in like, oh, I want a coat like this. And I'm like, no, you've got hips, you can't wear that.
Yeah.
It's the bane of one's life. That you look at clothes on a rack and think, oh, I like that.
I know.
And then you imagine yourself in them and you think,
well, that's the thing.
Oh, that's not going to go,
that's
is
the
it?
Thing with getting old. I mean, I go shopping.
Who's getting
now.
Old? I'm not getting
speak
old.
Speak for yourself.
I go shopping now and I see things that I love, and I, in my head, you know, I'm 29 and I was a rock chick that used to wear minis and biker boots and just would look wrong on me now. So I find it. So I'm coming to see you because I've got some beautiful African materials, as we said, in bright orange and gorgeous things. And I've got a lovely sort of turquoise sari material, reams. Do you remember you wrapped me up in that sari in Romney Marsh? Mm-hmm. We didn't know how to put it on. They wrapped me up in it. I couldn't go to the loo for the whole 2 hour show. I was like a Rolo?
So something like that, yeah. Yeah, that's not exactly how I described it, but yeah, fair enough. So, Lucy, where are you going from here, do you think? What's the plan? Do you have a plan?
Ever upwards, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure the Prince's Trust will help you with a plan.
Yeah.
Lucy, well, you have a plan.
Yeah. I have a plan. Yeah. Ultimately, I need to expand everything. Mm. So I'd like bigger premises, bigger production abilities.
Well, where do you work primarily from at the moment?
out of Whitstable Harbour.
You do work out of Whitstable Harbour?
Yeah. Last year you could have even seen me sort of, there's something on Instagram of people recording me because I sat out the front of my hut with a hand sewing machine.
Right, and knitting needles. Yeah. Yeah, waiting for them to execute. Oh, no, I'm getting confused now. Okay.
And other than that, I just work from home. And one of the reasons I wanted to do Bazaar Bazaar this year is because there is actually going to be space for me to work in my stand so people can come and watch, and it's an interactive thing.
Cool.
Yeah, I need to jump in on that one. That wasn't halfway near good enough.
Here's Kevin to fill us in.
No, I know. So Lucy has got a great following with what she does. It isn't unique. It's something a lot of people want. Unique is niche, and this isn't niche. And she's gifted, as you can see from the stuff, garment she's got. Very gifted. It's just now about scalability. So we're now what was a great idea, and is doing well. We now need to scale it, but we need to keep the Lucy Brickwood stamp on it as well, and that's the challenge. Yeah, as
absolutely.
A lot of business.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're working with Lucy to figure that out. I think the next step would be to have a firm retail footing in an area that really complements what you do. And one example of that would be Brighton, amongst others. And so we're looking at how Lucy can do that, and we're working with her to do that as well. And as we do with a number of other young people, of course, that get to this point. But it's really interesting because scalability is probably one of the hardest things companies do.
Absolutely.
Especially when you have what I call founder syndrome, where they can't get out of that that mode, and sometimes you have to release a little bit and let the baby walk a bit.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
But Lucy's, as you can hear, she should be in Woodstock somewhere with a festival.
Yeah.
And she does love festivals, by the way, and does very well out of them as well.
And why not?
But talking of, you know, women who enjoy colour, when you go to Africa, everybody wears colour.
Yeah.
You know, I feel completely at home in Africa. In England, everybody's in navy and black. What's all that about? You know, in winter, why wear black? Boring. So I love your style, and I think a lot of other people would too.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can see Jules trekking across the Serengeti anytime you like. It's a favourite pastime. We could talk about this forever, Lucy. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you, Kevin. We're going to talk some more in the second part of the programme to some other folks here from Prince's Trust. But for the moment, Lucy, thank you very much. If people want to find out about your gloriously gorgeous, lovely designs and the work that you do, what's the best way for them to do that?
We have an internet presence in the form of, I have a website which is www.violetelizabeth.com. You can also email me at lucy@violetelizabeth.com. And other than that, I'm on Instagram. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Brilliant. So you can do that. Follow Lucy on Instagram and Twitter, V_
violet.elizabeth.london.
Yeah, _London. And you can check out the website. For the moment, Lucy, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, and we'll talk to you again in the second half of the show. We're now going to join Abby over in the Channel Radio newsroom.
Hello, Abby.
Yeah. So,
I wonder what she's wearing.
Yeah.